him because of our lack of understanding of who he is and what he wants for us. But we need to go beyond that. Lead me where my trust has no restrictions, no borders, no boundaries. God, just whatever. It's all you and you alone. Praise God. He's so good. Were we going to put on that Joshua Aaron song at some time today? Was that set up there at all, Mesh, or not? No? No, that's all good. All right, take your seats. Thank you. Kids, you are free to move on upstairs. Oh, look at this mass rush. The Exodus personified again. Oh, I could even get a hug. Well done, kiddo. Well, bless God. He's a good God, isn't he ever? What an awesome selection of songs to praise God with. Wow. I think we get these kids doing it more often. Hey, just amazing. They've got such a heart for God. And you know, I would not have actually thought a child would pick some of those songs. Isn't that amazing? I just really would have thought they were more, I don't know, too grown up for them. But boy, did they get hold of those songs. And the words are sensational. So good. You know, I just want to share a little bit before we move on. We have started early with me up here today, mainly because in the Bible, it says, and Joseph was betrothed to Mary. And the word betrothal back in that era basically meant engaged to some of us now. But it was far more than that, because they had more of a spiritual significance attached to that, where God was involved right from the word go. And it's such an amazing look at the scriptures, and a lot of churches have betrothal services for their young couples when they're getting married. This is probably the first one I've ever been a part of, and we're doing it right here with Jordan and Sarah around about 11:15. We hope to just get onto that and let them come out, and we're going to commit them to God for their future plans together. And I'm excited about it, because I think what God's going to do in their lives and what he's already doing is pretty exciting, very exciting. And I mean, I haven't known their whole history and whatever. I've heard snippets here and there, but I think you guys have got such an amazing testimony of how God has changed your lives and turned you around for him. So good. So good. So let's just have a look at the word. I want to cover a couple of things in the scriptures that I think are very relevant and very good for this, and we'll see how we go with it all. Bless God. All right. Can we have the slides up? Thanks, Anthony. On God's plan and provisions. Now, I know this scripture is tossed around in so many areas. And there's even conjecture in church circles where they say, oh, it's just for Israel, it's not for anybody else. But when Fritz read out the scripture, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. You want to start picking it out and saying, no, that's for that group of people, and this is for that group of people, and this is for that. You are doing yourself the greatest disservice, because it's all there for God to use for our benefit and to reveal himself to us, every bit of it. And whether he was talking to Israel at the time or not is irrelevant. He is talking to his people. And that word was preserved and protected and guarded by God himself to ensure that it would never be lost. It was recorded and then collated so you and I could have what we call the Bible today. In Greek, biblios. The word biblios means collection of books or writings. And they put them together, and our biblios is our Bible, with the writings of ancient times right through to now, showing God's intense plans and purposes for this planet and for humanity. I think it's incredible. So every bit of it, and especially this one here. God makes plans. Did you know that? Well, he made plans right on day one. He said, let's make... He came down to this planet that was there, that was out of order. it was chaos and covered in darkness. And the first thing he said was order, ore, be. Didn't say light, not like we understand light. He said order, because it was in chaos. And he brought order to a chaotic place, just like he does with our lives when we come to him. And he takes the chaos and restores order in our lives. That's a perfect parallel to creation. And even every aspect of creation has a parallel into the outworking of salvation in our lives. And I taught on it some time ago, and probably no one here has heard me teach on it except maybe Darren and Kerry. We may have to do a quick rendition of it again one day, just so you understand. Every day of creation has a parallel for every part of our growth in Christ, and he leads us on. It's absolutely staggering to see it, even to the point where he, on the seventh day, he rested. And there remains a rest for the people. God, I'm telling you, he's our Sabbath. He's our rest. It's just perfect. The whole thing fits amazingly. But he makes plans, and he makes plans for us. He made plans for Israel. But if we put our life in his hands, his purposes and plans can be outworked. And I just want to see what was said up here. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. And so God has plans. A lot of people take that word prosper and put it in the financial sense. To me, that doesn't ring true. The whole word prosper can mean that you are prospering, or you're growing in grace, you're growing in peace, you're growing in love. There's a prosperity in the nature of God being developed in our lives. And who cares whether you got $5 in your pocket or not? I want God's prosperity in my life. Amen? I do. It's far greater. The riches of his glory are far greater than any of the riches of this planet. And so he has plans for his life and nature to develop and grow and prosper in us. His plans for us, not to harm us, not to bring us down, not to destroy us, but to give us a hope and a future. Cop that one, you two. Write that up on your wall somewhere, because it's so great for you guys. It's funny. I sort of sat there last night just chewing over a few thoughts, and I'm thinking, God, you know, I need something that I can just share that not just is for Sarah and Jordan, but for all of us. What's your word for today? And I looked across the kitchen, and Lek was unloading some shopping. And she bought this shopping bag from Keswick Bookshop. And as she turned it round, guess what was written on it? That scripture. And it hit me. I went, wow, God, you're so amazing. I'm just asking God for something, and he spins a shopping bag around and shows me. And I love the way God works. We got to have our eyes open and our catches on, because your disc might miss it otherwise, you know. And it was just so one of those moments of instant response by God, because this thing was just like there. And if she hadn't done what she'd done, I wouldn't have seen it. But God knew. It was so good. So these plans of God are always there. But the people of God back in Israel's time, when God spoke to them, did they get all of that benefit in their lives? No, they walked in disobedience. And it thwarted what God wanted for them. They walked away from God's intent for their lives. They got caught up with other things. They followed after other passions and desires. And they didn't put God first. And God's plans, unfortunately, got put on hold. That's really what happens. His plans don't change. You know, it's like the children of Israel. He took them out of Egypt. Their plan was to get across to Canaan. And if they'd buttoned up and taken a direct route, they could have been there in a matter of days. But they got out in that wilderness, and they decided, oh, well, we'll do our own thing out here. And Moses is up getting the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, and they throw a wild party and ignore God and build themselves a crazy golden calf and call it their God. And so God said, I had plans to get you into Canaan, but guess what? You've blown it. you guys are going to perish in this wilderness, and I'll take a new generation in. And so he waited for 40 years until the new generation grew up and matured and took them into Canaan, and the ones that he wanted to take in stuffed the plans because they weren't following God intensely. So we have, God has plans for our lives. Are we giving him every opportunity to bring them about, fulfill them? We need to ask ourselves that every now and then. Spirit, take me where my trust is without borders. I think sometimes our trust is, yeah, I can trust God for my daily bread. I can trust God to just look after me when I'm doing this. Let it all hang out. Let God be God in everything, in every facet and aspect of our lives. Put our lives in his hands fully and stop taking control. Stop getting hold of things and making our own directions and making our own decisions without consulting him. We'll find that it'll be a lot better. It gives him a chance to be who he wants to be. In Jeremiah 29:11-13, the same thing, it goes on to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me. You put yourself in his hands. Then you will call on me and you will pray and I will listen. You're giving me a chance. You're giving me an opportunity to be involved in your life. 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. Isn't that good? But righteous is not just a matter of saying, well, yes, I'm born of the Spirit and I've been made the righteousness of God. Righteousness has an outworking. It's walking in the rights that God has given us to walk in his kingdom. Australia has a Bill of Rights. And if we walk within that Bill of Rights, we have our rights to live in this land as citizens of this land if we comply to the laws of the land. You violate the laws of this land and your rights are very quickly snuffled. And you have these things called handcuffs and you get marched away and your rights are to live in a little brick cell or a concrete cell that doesn't have too much going for it. And you lose your liberties and you lose your rights. And with God, we need to ensure the righteousness that he has given us is what we walk in. Don't violate it. We're cutting God off from being who he wants to be in our lives. He's not going to incarcerate us and stick it in handcuffs. We do that to ourselves when we violate the rights God's given us and don't walk in them. It's just craziness. And we've all done it. Believe me. And some of us, like me, are thick and take a lot of learning. We don't learn the first time. It takes 4 or 5 times. We go, hang on a minute. I'm still in. God, why is this happening to me? You're not letting me do anything. And I've been so dumb sometimes. You've got to learn to come back and say, God, I don't want to thwart anything you've got for my life. I want your ears constantly open to my prayers because the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Isn't that interesting? You know, it's amazing how sometimes in this world men think by doing evil they're getting on and they're prospering and they're cheating others and they're doing all sorts of things. But boy, I tell you what, I don't want to be in their shoes when the face of the Lord is totally against them. And we have to ensure our lives walk in purity so that God's face can never be turned from us by our own stupidity. Jeremiah, again, a little further on. I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. It's a heart condition to follow after the things of God. You know, some people go through the motions. I go to church on Sunday. I read my Bible once or twice a week. I pray once or twice a week. God understands. I'm really busy. I've got a lot on. You know, just no. And then something goes wrong in our lives. Oh, God, oh, Lord, help me. Ah! And we get all teary and bleary and we try to get God involved and he's going, "What What's he going to do with that? A lot of Christians pray prayers God can't answer. Why? Because they're not walking in the place where God is able to answer prayers. They're not giving him the opportunity to be the God he wants to be constantly. They just want him there for a convenience. Santa Claus, give me another sack of toys. No, that's nonsense. We can't treat God like that. We have to treat him as God. He's a good, good father. And because of that, this is who I am. I'm a child of God loved by my Father. What an identity. What an identity. Whew. Because of who he is, makes me who I am in him. Learn that. Understand that. Walk in that. It's so much easier. It's so much more beneficial to our future and to our lives. It gives us capacity to guard our families. There's a lot of young kids in this church. There's a lot of family kids here. I'll tell you what, parents that have got a godly nature and seeking God have got the capacity to stand before God in behalf of their children, for their protection, for their covering, for their sanctity and safety. You know, I thank God so many times. I remember as a kid, my mum used to, she knew God, but boy, not to the extent that I know God now. Just, he's been amazing. But I first got a push bike. Mad cyclist I used to be. I would ride to Geelong just for something to do. I'd go to Hillsville. I'd go anywhere. It wouldn't matter. I'd get on the bike, which way is the wind blowing? And I'd ride into the wind, so I had a tailwind coming home. And if the wind changed, you know, but I was out for all hours. And then I got a car. And I'd come home, I don't know, whatever time. And mum's bedroom light would be on. She'd either be praying or waiting for me to come in, then I'd go off and she'd go to sleep. I never lost any sleep over where my kids were. Because I just said, Lord, they're in your hands. I thank you for the covenant they walk in and the covenant you've given us to stand for them. And in the name of Jesus, I'll see them when they get home or in the morning. I had to trust in God. I learned to trust in God. He takes better care of than me. Why sit up and worry all night? That's a waste of a worry. That's lack of faith. We have the capacity to stand in faith. Amen? And he will allow us to find him when we search for him with all our heart. There's no room for complacency with God. Ignoring him will not allow God to have any opportunity to work on our behalf. And my challenge to all of us is to allow God every opportunity. And don't get in the way. Don't get in the way. That's exactly what Israel did. Fritz said, read the Old Testament. You read the Old Testament. And Paul says in the New Testament, these things happened to them as an example for us that we might not stumble as they stumbled and fell. So all the things that they did that were crazy and wrong and violated God's principles, Paul says, learn from that and don't be dumb. Don't make the same mistakes. Don't ignore God. Don't turn from him. Don't think you can do it in your own strength. You know, God told them at one stage, he says, when you go to battle, don't number your armies. Trust in me. And so they'd look at the enemy and they'd go, oh, how many of them is there? Oh, 4,000. Oh, how many we got? Yeah, we got more than them. Let's go. And they'd get whipped. Why? Don't number your armies. It's a funny thing, but I even apply that to church. We're supposed to fill in a form and put down how many people come to our church in our annual reports. And I put on it, no idea. I never count on because I never number the armies. I never, ever number. I say, God, they're yours, not mine. And I'm not counting them and giving a report to some organization that wants to brag because they've got 25 people in church. Forget it. Never have a day's record have I ever, ever, ever had a record of numbering the attendees at church. And I will not do it because it's a violation of God's principles. So for the ACC listening, good on you. Change your ways. it's craziness. But, you know, people live on these statistics and reports, and God said, don't do it. Trust in me. It applies to the kingdom of God now, just as it did back then. Now you seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. 1 Chronicles 21 verse 9 says this, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. God's got a scanner, you know, like he's up there and he's looking over. He sees the world. He measures the universe with the span of his hand. So he sits there and he goes, there it is, side to side. So he's out there somewhere, who knows where, but this created universe that we think, look at it, we go, oh, it's a trillion light years from one side to the other. God goes, did a good job of that. He's not even interested too much. He knows Earth's in there somewhere, the tiny little speck from where he is, but his focus is on it. I think that's incredible. And the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for an opportunity to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. You know, it's a perfect heart that God's in looking for, not for a perfect life, not for something that we're totally successful in this planet, not that everything's this, that, and the other, and we've got it all together, and, you know, yep. No, he's looking for the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. Man looks on all of the successes and the accolades of life, but God looks on the heart, and he goes, there's a perfect heart there. What can I do for him? Is there an opportunity to show myself strong for them? Whoa. When you seek me, you will find me with all your heart. It's scripture is there. I love that. Hoo-hoo. He wants to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. And then he goes on and he says, in the matter that we're discussing at the time, you've acted foolishly and ignored me completely. So from now on and into the immediate future, you will have wars. There'll be strife, turmoil, problems, tribulation, and great troubles. You know, because they ignored God. He's scanning the opportunity, looking for an opportunity, but because they had acted foolishly and done crazy things and ignored God, he says, there's consequences. He didn't come along and say, well, let's that's okay, we'll fix that. No, if we start sowing, you know, tares into our gardens, we're going to grow weeds. We're going to grow tares, not wheat. We're going to grow things that we don't want there. And that'll happen in our lives. And so there's consequences. And he says, because you've acted so foolishly, you've got consequences to face now. You've ignored me. And unfortunately, the cycles of things that are happening are going to create issues for you. Whoa, am I talking to the right people? Have we all been there? It's just a godly spiritual principle. And if we don't understand spiritual principles, we walk blindly. And I'm hoping this is opening our eyes a little bit. The same with Psalm 91. They, or it says he who dwells, but they, he or she, I'm not pointing anything away here. They who dwell. There's a consistency in relationship with God. In the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You want his arm and hand and shadow over your life, you've got to be a consistent dweller in his power and his presence. Amen? It's consistency that we've got to be there. Psalm 24, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord and who shall stand in his holy place? This is the secret place he's talking about. He who has clean hands and a pure heart and does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully or tell false lies, he or she will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of their salvation. Man, isn't that good? That is so good. I don't know where I got this other one from. I haven't written the reference down. But we'll read it out off there anyway. God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. This power was given to us through knowledge of the one who called us by his own glory and integrity. And through his glory and integrity, he has given us his promises that are of the highest value. Through these promises, you will share in the divine nature because you've escaped the corruption that sinful desires caused in this world. Because of this, make every effort to add integrity. I think it's from Peter, isn't it? To your faith. And to your integrity, add knowledge. Never stop growing in the knowledge of God. To knowledge, add discipline or self-control. To self-control, add endurance. And to endurance, godliness. Wow. And to godliness, where are we? Next one, Matt. Mash somewhere? Yeah. To godliness, add pure Christian affection, and to pure or brotherly love, it says in King James, and to brotherly love or Christian affection, add God-given pure love. Man, I tell you what, that is just so, there's a consistency in that. Can you see that? Where God wants us to grow in him. Make every effort to add integrity to your faith. Don't just have faith. Make sure it's got integrity attached to it. Standing and walking in righteousness. That's important. And to that integrity, add the knowledge of the scriptures and the knowledge of God. To that, add self-control. And to self-control, endurance. Press on and push on. Like Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. I don't give up. And if there's a knockback or a setback, I'm enduring. I'm going on. And to that, I'm adding godliness because I'm doing it for his purposes and for his goodness. And then I'm adding brotherly affection or brotherly kindness or Christian care for one another. And to pure Christian affection, I'm adding and in growing in the love of God. Wow, how good is that? How good is that? That's a challenge to all of us. Where's my growth level at the moment? What rung of the ladder have I skipped or missed? Or what area do I need to get before God and develop a little bit? I'm not telling you we all have to sort of sit there and get a chart to grow with. Just say, "Let Holy Spirit, you're the teacher. Where am I lacking? Lead me, guide me, show me, and I'm prepared to move on because I want to be more like my God and like my Jesus. Every day." And you know, it's interesting that marriage is an honorable estate. It's ordained of God. And Sarah and Jordan, if you'll come out. Hope you don't mind me telling tales out of school, but you know, these guys may or may not.